Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live out in Reston at Craft House in the Reston Town Center. We will be here from 2 to 6:30 today. So as you get out of the office, as you wrap up the work week, as you head on back out west into Virginia, if you're working your way through traffic from D.C., come on out to Reston Town Center and Craft House. We'll be here all show long on The Fan. We are giving away tickets today to see Adam Sandler when he comes to town this fall. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. Every hour on the hour, you will have a chance to win tickets to see Adam Sandler right here on The Fan. Should be a great show today from Reston and the Reston Town Center. But, Danny, the big news of the day strikes a couple hours before we go on the air. No more subterfuge. No more mystery. Jaden Daniels out Sunday against the Raiders for the first time since Washington drafted him. He will not play in a game the Commanders are strapping up the pads for.
So it's a bummer, obviously, that he's not right, but we'll miss him this weekend, but hopefully Mariota, the reason you pay him, the reason you bring him back is for situations just like this. But honestly, given the circumstances, again, I'm not thrilled that he's injured. That's not fun. But I'm thrilled with the decision-making. I'm thrilled with the process, right? Instead of this weird idea that maybe he could talk you into it, et cetera, Dan Quinn referenced it kind of throughout. This player at this position is too important. Not for a week, not for 2 weeks, not even for a season, for the long term. I love long-term thinking. Coaches in general, that's why a coach and general manager should never be the same person. Coaches in general are trying to figure out what's the next play. When do I burn the next timeout? When do I, what formation, what substitution, minute to minute, moment to moment, day to day. General managers and executives have the obligation to think longer term. And when everybody's on the same page, sometimes we could really help us this weekend if we could come up with a certain package of plays. The temptation is there. They removed that. They made sure that they're taking care of this player. I think it's the right thing to do. I'm thrilled with the decision.
So Dan Quinn said all of the right things, and we'll play the Dan Quinn audio on the decision to sit Jaden Daniels and to play Marcus Mariota in just a couple of moments. But I stopped short of celebrating the taking caution here because I don't know that that's actually what happened. I've seen everybody celebrating that. I've seen people saying, good job by the coaching staff that they didn't push Jaden Daniels. How sure are we that he's anywhere close to being able to play?
That's fair, too. Yeah.
I mean, he was asked after he said he wasn't playing by Nikki Javala of The Athletic, basically, was this really close? Are you having to hold him back? And he bulled right through it. He didn't answer the question. He didn't practice a single ounce yesterday. He didn't practice at all on Wednesday. He was listed limited today, and Dan Quinn said that he ran around and did a few things. But if you remember, he said that on Monday.
Yeah.
He said, or maybe it was Wednesday, I guess, but the first practice day, he said, he didn't practice, but he ran around and he threw the football. So all he said he did today was the same thing that he said he did Wednesday when he couldn't practice at all. For me, I've always been interested in next week. Now, the team made it very clear and left open the possibility he could play, so you have to just take them at their word. But everything that I'd heard the entire time was it was extremely unlikely that he was going to be able to play this weekend. My guess is they just kept the element of possibility open. Mm-hmm. They kept the charade seems nefarious, but they kept the Raiders guessing.
The subterfuge, whatever,
basically.
Yeah.
That's to me what happened here. Now, I guess it's possible they could push back and say, oh, you don't know what you don't know. He really had a chance to play. I think early on this week they knew he wasn't playing. And Marcus Mariota has known for days, it's my job on Sunday. I got to go get this football team a win in a revenge game, oh, by the way, against one of the other five teams in the NFL that I've played for in my career at this point. But I agree that if, in fact, Daniels was pushing hard and charging to play and was trying to kind of bull his way back onto the field because he's the face of the franchise and he thinks he can gut through it and still give you the best chance to win, if they protected him from himself, job well done. That's the job. That's exactly what they should have done in week three of a marathon. But I'm still in wait-and-see mode here to see. Let's fast forward to next Wednesday. I mean, is he practicing in full? Is he Jaden Daniels again? You know, I'm curious.
We might know more about, yes, about this week. I think that's all an astute assessment by you. To me, this is, though, I'm just sort of basing it off what I thought I knew, but I was making some assumptions. So I think you're right. I guess what I'm saying is I feel like this is a thoughtful group,
yeah,
whereas in years past, I don't know that that was the case. It would have been like, what do you think, buddy? All right, let's go with our gut, you know, or something like that. And maybe he would have trotted out there with a big brace on or something cumbersome or whatever. And they would have been behind. Oh, he's cleared. He's cleared, man. Talk to the guy instead of this, whatever it is they did. So I don't begrudge you not, you know, being forthcoming on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or even yesterday. But, you know, appreciate that today this is definitive. It's over. No Jaden Daniels this weekend. And I'll be fascinated, I'm with you, on what it looks like early next week when they do get back on the practice field for a normal week of kind of the routine as opposed to what happened this past week.
More on Daniels in a minute, but let's talk Mariota for a second as he takes center stage here under the bright lights as he gets ready to lead this team in a pretty important week three game to try to get to 2-1 to start the season. For Marcus Mariota, he is the other Heisman Trophy winning number two overall pick in that quarterback room. People forget that while he was never Daniels, he didn't have a 50 touchdown season in the SEC. He never had the rookie year that was the greatest of all time that Jaden's already had on the precipice of being considered a top five QB in the league and elite. Mariota at one point in time was the belle of the ball. I mean, he was taken by the Titans one pick after Jameis Winston goes one to the Bucks to be the face of the franchise. Now it's been a 10-year career for him, 74 career starts, spends the first five seasons of his NFL career in Tennessee with the Titans. There was a three-year stretch in Tennessee when Derrick Henry was running the ball well and they could play some defense where they went 24-19 in games he started,
mm-hmm,
a well above 500 playoff caliber team. He ends up getting benched in his final year of his contract. Ryan Tannehill comes in and takes flight there, if you remember, as a really good fit with, at the time, Arthur Smith, who's gone on to be a head coach and is now calling plays for Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. But after that, Mariota leaves, and he's since been a backup for the rest of his career. 2 years in Vegas, then he gets a chance to start for part of a season in Atlanta, spent a year with the Eagles, last year here in Washington, and so now this is team number five. But I view Marcus Mariota as kind of the perfect number two quarterback. Like, the comp for me, do you like this? I think he's Tyrod Taylor.
Hmm.
He is a guy that can beat you with his feet. He is a guy that can make all the throws. He is not going to lead teams to a lot of points that aren't schemed up. Like, they hung 40 with him on the field against Carolina last year, and he played beautifully within Cliff Kingsbury's offense. But he's not going to be Jaden Daniels and go off schedule and off script and kind of create and manufacture a bunch of offense. But it's low interceptions. His interception total in his career is minuscule. He will not really beat you with bad decisions. He's going to hold on to the ball, not going to make a lot of plays, but not going to make them for the other team either. It's a Tyrod Taylor starter kit here. And for a week at a time, it's exactly what teams should look for from a backup quarterback.
Yeah, to me, my quintessential backup quarterback I always think of is Doug Flutie, right? I don't want him starting for 17 weeks, but little backyard football, little runaround, little bit of a playmake, using some speed. I think there's only been a couple spots where they actually really utilized the fact that he was such a good runner. I always thought it was underutilized in Tennessee. They tried to, you know, do a square peg round hole thing and try to make him a prolific passer, which is not his game. Using a little bit of everything is his game. So I thought it was a really good fit as a guy that's, you know, as you said, that's not Jaden Daniels, but, you know, you're not asking him to. Now, if you got to start for 17 weeks, it's a different story. But in a smaller sample in a game like this, where if you line up and play and everybody just sort of goes one-on-one, you push everybody, you're probably better than the Raiders at this point. I mean, probably. You're better than the Raiders are. So, you know, I don't love it if they're playing Philadelphia tomorrow, or on Sunday, rather. I don't love it if they were playing Buffalo or Baltimore or one of the teams that's a Super Bowl contender. That's on us on the schedule. This is one of those, hey, don't beat us, and we got a great chance to win the football game this week. So you're right. To me, he's the quintessential backup quarterback, which sounds diminishing, but I don't think it is.
Last start for him came way back in 2022 with the Falcons. In fact, Washington fans may remember. So in 2022, he came here, and Atlanta almost beat, I don't even know what their name was that year. I don't think it was Commanders. Might have been football team.
That could have been a football team.
But they almost beat Washington.
Deron Payne's pinky.
That's exactly what happened. Goal line play to win the football game, and Deron Payne, in what was his play like you want money year, batted a ball down basically at the line of scrimmage that saved the day, or else a Mariota-led Atlanta team would have come here and beat Washington. But it was the next week after that, week 13 of that season in 22, that Mariota last started in the NFL. Basically 13 starts for him over 5 years. Now, people will point to last season. He was exceptional the two times he played.
Mm-hmm.
He lit up the Carolina Panthers, was fantastic. That was the game where Jaden actually broke the rib. And then he played again and was very, very effective against the Dallas Cowboys. This was week 18, game 17, very end of the season. You'll remember Washington had wrapped up the playoffs. Daniels at halftime was sat just to keep him healthy. The offense was doing nothing. Mariota came in and was a spark plug and led them back to beat the Cowboys. Last-minute touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. So the two times we've seen him in this offense, he has actually been excellent. My concern is this, though. While I think he's going to play okay, he did nothing in the preseason.
Yep.
He barely got to practice in training camp.
This has been my point.
He had the Achilles issue, so he was, you know, the time on the grass for a backup is already next to zero, but for him, it's lower than that. He's been practicing. They feel good enough about the Achilles. They weren't dressing three quarterbacks in the first couple games. But I think it's very reasonable to expect some rust from a guy who just hasn't gotten a lot of time to practice. If that's been a story for Jaden Daniels, who's gotten nothing but practice reps, then it's got to be a story for Mariota as well, who also didn't play in games, basically took August off, but then he wasn't even getting the 11-on-11 work that JD5 was.
This is my point. So I was basically saying I did not believe before the year that they would get off to a good start offensively because of the phenomenon you're talking about. Then you add in the fact that Mariota didn't do anything. Then you add in the fact that he's a backup quarterback, so whatever reps they were getting. I mean, I think, was it Michael Phillips told us that Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin combined for two on-the-field practices before the season started? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Montana and Rice in your prime. You need more than that. You need 7, 10, 20, who knows what the actual number is. So, yeah, no surprise to me. They've been off to kind of a sluggish start, and I think their best football's ahead of them once they all kind of get in rhythm and really start getting going this year. But then you add in that rust factor for Mariota. So, to me, this is one of those, maybe if this is a Week 10 situation, everybody's been at it for a while, I might open up to all the different pages of that playbook, and I might show you the full Monty, so to speak. This, to me, feels like, hey, man, let's do what you do really well right now. That's RPO. That's some read option looks. Use your legs. But stay safe, please, for goodness sakes. I don't want to see, just want to see Sam Hartman on the sideline being handsome. Maybe not in the game, Sam Hartman. But you know what I mean? Like, to me, this
is
Josh Johnson. Well, Josh Johnson, yeah, but you know what I mean?
Hartman will be on the practice squad.
I'm saying I want to keep this we're just not going to beat ourselves. And it's not, you know, it may not be the sexiest game plan. I think this needs to be more of a war of attrition kind of game where you're going to hopefully let the Raiders screw up.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The bad news, I guess, would be there's possible rust, right? So we got that out of the way. Here's the good news, I think, for Marcus Mariota. This is the most susceptible defense that they have played yet. The Giants game, where they were a play here and a play there away from like 500 yards and 30 points, it wasn't pretty, but the numbers were okay. They scored, you know, 20-plus and 400-plus yards or whatever, and they left a few things on the field. You go into that game going, this defensive front's going to eat you for lunch. Didn't really happen. The O-line held up well. The Packers have the number one defense in the NFL. But if you look at the Raiders, they gave up a 60-yard touchdown where Quentin Johnston got behind everybody on Monday Night Football. Looking at everything with Logan Paulson this week over on the Take Command pod that we do, it's pretty clear that their linebackers struggle in zone coverage, kind of getting to depth. And so there's some space in that middle of the field area if Mariota on some pop passes can hit some of those in-breakers, those deep overs to Deebo Samuel, dig routes to Terry McLaurin. I think there's going to be some air in that area of the field. And they are susceptible to quarterbacks running the football. And I really do believe if Jaden Daniels had played, you almost had to – avoid any kind of calls into the headset or you're telling him to run. Because you know he's already going to scramble more than you want him to anyway, mm-hmm. from the standpoint of taking shots when his knee is not right. So with Mariota out there, I'll bet you Cliff Kingsbury dials up read option to your point.
I think so.
I think he's going to run 7, 8, 9 times maybe. It wouldn't surprise me. It's certainly going to be 5 or 6 in this game. I would take the over.
Like, I would RPO them to death.
Yeah, why not? I would take go right at Max Crosby and get, you know, your extra big tackle, whether that's Trent Scott or your tight end, if that's Sinnott or Yankoff this week or whoever it's going to be, and you park them next to Josh Connerly and try to slow him down that way. But I actually like the matchup. If he's not rusty, if he is able to just look like himself, they should be able to move the football this week against this Raiders team. Let's get to the audio, though, of Dan Quinn making the announcement today. He came out. I thought right away he would just sit down and say it. He gave you the captains first, and then he went through some other things.
He quinned it up, didn't he?
Talked about the stadium coming to RFK. I guess it's the first time he's spoken since that happened, maybe. But eventually he got to the elephant in the room, which was that Jaden Daniels, for the first time, will not play.
I'm not going to go through the entire injury report, but give updates when I can. Jaden was limited today. On the field, we decided to start Marcus and said at the beginning we were going to be very diligent on his return to play and make sure we didn't miss any steps. So we're going to be smart, not just fast. And player wants to do everything all the time. That's who he is as a competitor, which I love. But that's how we'll roll.
Smart, not fast is the way to go.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing here. Again, is this a he's ready and they're holding him out as precaution? Or is this a he's not ready? I don't think we know the answer. It seems like a lot of people are assuming it's the first one, not the second one. I'm going to wait till midway through next week, and I think we'll get more intel on that. But it really doesn't matter. He's not going to play in the game. Cliff Kingsbury spoke yesterday, and because we knew at that time it was very likely that Daniels might not play, he did talk about Marcus Mariota running this offense and what he likes about the veteran quarterback at that time in the event that he had to play, and we now know he will.
Yeah, last year, just being around him for a year, when we signed him back, we felt like we have two starters in the building, which is rare in this league. So anytime he was asked to play or practice or even on scout team, he's been phenomenal. So treats like a pro, as a leader on the team, despite, you know, not being the starter, which is hard to do, and can't say enough good things about him. So if he has to go, I'm sure he'll be ready.
Cliff Kingsbury yesterday in Ashburn. Danny, next, I want to explain why I think Washington should still win this game without Jaden Daniels, with Mariota. And I want people, if they want to tell me why I'm wrong. But this, to me, doesn't change. Confidence may not be the right word. I mean, obviously, you look at the betting line's going to change. Mm-hmm. The vigor with which I feel they'll win the game is not going to be as high when your MVP-caliber quarterback is not available. But I still look at this game as, if we're filing games into, like, should win or not should win, this is a should-win game.
It's in the should.
And I want to make that case next, and maybe we can play a little Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. And we will do that live from Reston at Reston Town Center, where we're at the Craft House in Reston today on Grant and Danny. We're giving away tickets to see Adam Sandler at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, all show long right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Were you able to watch him run at all? Did you see him test that knee? And what was the final, what did it come down to for you?
Yeah, just not being there all the way yet, John, honestly, like being able to do everything. So there's also a side that it was an excellent week because the progress and encouragement to go. So the fact that he was able to throw, you know, all days and get running in today, we're just not there all the way yet, John. So it wasn't just one specific, you know, test that I was looking for.
Certainly sounds encouraging in the big picture and as it pertains to next week and the weeks ahead for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. But for this weekend, it's a no-go. Marcus Mariota will get the start. He will run Washington's offense. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're at Reston Town Center today. We're live until 6:30. Come on out to Craft House in Reston and hang with us for our Friday field trip series as you get out of the office. Come have a drink and some food and talk ball with us as we get you set for a gigantic football weekend. College slate tomorrow, NFL on Sunday. Should be a great couple of days. Danny, the story, it's Marcus Mariota time for this offense. First start in 3 years. So I made the case going to break.
Yep.
I still file this, even without Jaden Daniels, as a should win. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of opponents. They'd be playing where I would go, all right, now you're going to lose the game. Now, if you're playing Philly or Detroit or Green Bay or Kansas City or some power this weekend, you need Daniels to have a shot. This is not to downplay or mitigate the quality of your quarterback. But there are also teams you could play or matchups you could have in the not who you're playing but when you play them mantra that I live with, where I would say you could still win this game without the five car on the track. And this is one of those. And it's the case I've been making that people are probably tired of all week long, which is there are certain sneaky scheduled wins that sometimes you don't notice when the schedule first comes out. And this is one of those, in my opinion. When you talk about rest, when you talk about the Raiders flying cross-country from a Monday night game at home, well, in California, I should say, to now hitting the road and coming out to Landover, Maryland, 3,000 miles away. They didn't just play the Monday night game. They played a later Monday night game than they normally do in a staggered early-late doubleheader that's abnormal. Washington didn't play Sunday or Monday. They played Thursday. So you're talking about 10 days rest versus 6 days rest. Doesn't get much bigger than that in this league. They try to avoid this scenario. And while Washington's got injury problems, John Bates, Noah Brown, some others, they're licking their wounds a little bit. The guys that are going to play are going to be so rested compared to the Raiders that I think it will make the difference. Mariota is not going to beat them. And I think those two things combined make me think in a close game, it's not going to be a blowout. They're not going to beat them 42-13 or something. But I do think they will win a game by 4 or 5 points at home.
So I am picking them to win, talking about Washington. Okay. So, but I'm going to do the exercise here. I'm going to do a little devil's advocate type situation. I'm going to try to make the case. Name a position that Washington cannot cover. Name a position that Washington cannot cover.
Well, I guess you're saying tight end.
Tight end. They've got one of the best one, most dynamic tight ends in this sport. Now, he's hobbled, but bear with me.
How confident are we that they can't cover tight ends?
Very.
They did a pretty good job against the Giants.
I am very confident.
They've only played two games.
Yeah, I'm very confident. Tucker Kraft has never been, no one's ever been more open than that guy. So casually, so effortlessly, so easily. And Brock Bowers can't be covered by anybody, let alone a group that's going, I think, is going to struggle covering tight ends this year. I'm not going to tell you that Jacoby Myers is a world beater, that some of their other receivers are worth anything other than, you know, the contracts that their names are printed on. But to me, this is a little bit of a playmaking quarterback. Not running around like Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that he is, but Geno Smith can move around just enough to get away from some of the trouble. Ashton Jeanty is dynamic, and all it's going to take is a couple of weeks, and they figured out, here's how we can get him the ball work and do a lot of damage, right? We're not going to try to be a battering ram inside up against Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, and company. The Raiders will be able to move the football because Brock Bowers is excellent, Jeanty's really, really good, and Max Crosby is a havoc-wreaking hurricane menace on the outside, and he's going to go up against either a journeyman offensive tackle or a rookie offensive tackle that has been exposed early on. The Raiders' defense, to me, is not that bad. And here is my final point. Again, I'm picking Washington to win, but I'm just arguing the best I can against my pal Grant Harrison Paulson. Washington's not that good right now. This is not the team that's going to be really good, I think, as the season progresses 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now. We haven't gotten a great homework assignment turned in just yet. It's some excuses. Yeah, they were close against the Giants, and they were a little sloppy, and they missed a couple things. They weren't very good at all. The Giants stink. They were throttled against Green Bay and didn't look that competitive. And you know, the score sort of belied how much they were drubbed in that game. We haven't had a great sample yet. And assuming that it's just going to happen when you've got a backup quarterback with all the rust in the universe who hasn't started a game in 3 years and a team that's beat up, you already referenced a couple of the injuries, this is not easy street. This could be a competitive game. This could be close. And do you trust Washington's field goal kicker? That's my final case. Again, I'm picking them to win, but I did my best.
Yeah, so nobody's saying it's easy street. I don't think you ever play a backup in the NFL and expect to blow a team out. Mac Jones started for San Francisco this past week. They had to earn it. Every blade of grass and every step of the way against the awful New Orleans Saints, who might pick first overall. You know, the Bengals go to Jake Browning this week against the Vikings, and they're an underdog against a team with their own backup quarterback on the field, Carson Wentz. So no delusions of grandeur here. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated. I guess my point is, I'm not sure that if I could pick any opponent in the league this week to play, I'd pick anybody else. Now, we'll see. Come Monday, I could tell you, okay, well, it didn't work out the way I thought. But I think the difference, if someone's arguing what you just laid out, whether that's you, it doesn't sound like it is, or someone who is arguing that devil's advocate side, I would just tell you our biggest disagreement is how big of a disadvantage you think the rest thing is. I'm a subscriber to the Sharp Analytics model of rest days being one of the great indicators of performance and predictive analysis in football. I think that a team that hasn't played since Thursday is basically coming off of a bye week.
A mini bye, yeah.
I mean, look up the numbers on teams' records and the difference in win percentage for teams post-bye versus the rest of their season. I mean, it's gargantuan. So you got a coaching staff that we all think's pretty good around these parts, yeah? They've had, effectively, 2 weeks to get ready for this thing. Now, it's not quite that, but it's the closest it is other than the one time where you actually get the bye, whereas the other staff has gotten to the tape and gotten to start working on you on Tuesday, basically. The players came into the building still battered and bruised and not really able to walk up steps after the collisions of the game still on Wednesday. And they're getting on a flight to fly cross-country for 5 hours on either tonight, I'm guessing, or maybe even Saturday morning. But I just look at that and say, what a gift. What a great opportunity. And when the schedule came out, you circle that one and you go, man, the NFL doesn't like this, but they allowed it, and we'll take advantage of it. Would I be more confident that they'd take advantage of it with Jaden Daniels at quarterback? Sure. But I think Marcus Mariota will be good enough, will protect the ball enough, will not make any of the really damaging plays to allow them to excel. There's a few things I do want to see in this game, though, for the Commanders to have a better chance to shine. The first is they got to get more out of and give more involvement to, opportunities to, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. To have only carried the football four times at Lambeau, coming off of the week one game that he had, where he had 82 yards, which was top five in the league, where he was number two in the NFL in rushing yards over expected per attempt, where you can't, in any analytical way, say he wasn't one of the four or five best running backs in the sport. Mm-hmm. In his debut as a seventh-round pick, you fast forward a few days later, they go to Lambeau, and he's doubled up in carries by Austin Ekeler, and he's out-snapped by Jeremy McNichols. Crumble that plan up, throw it away, and try again. Like, they need to involve this guy who has made them better when he has been on the field. I think they will. I think you're going to see a lot of first and second down work for him post Austin Ekeler here, now dealing with the Achilles out for the year, sadly. But that would be where I would start if I'm Kingsbury.
I'm with you.
I don't have Daniels. I'm going to go heavy read option. I'm making guys like Crosby read things to slow them down. It's going to be a lot of JCM early in the football game.
Yeah, I'm going to have Mariota keep it a couple times. Even if it doesn't result in a lot, you got to slide and, you know, get out of harm's way, et cetera, just to present the look. Right?
He did that, remember, in Landover. If you go back, I'd have to pull up the game log, but I want to say it was two of the first, like, four or five plays with the Falcons. He had read option plays against the Commanders in D.C. Do you remember that?
Now that you mention it, I do.
The only reason I remember it is because they talked about it after the game, like, yeah, we gave up some stuff on the ground because we were thinking too much about him. It's kind of exactly what you were just
talking
about.
And that's my idea. Not necessarily for big plays, but to make sure everyone knows you got to respect it. It's like thinking back to all the years as a kid growing up with you play against a triple option team. Every once in a while, you got to hand it to the fullback. not because you think it's going to pop for 20 yards, but because you got to make sure they respect that part of it, right? So even though everybody knows that you either want to keep it or pitch it to this guy or pitch it to that guy or hand it to the next person, every once in a while you got to give it to that fullback on that dive just to keep you honest. Now you spread it out. This is a different time, of course. We're not talking wishbone. We are talking, though, about the ability for a quarterback to run and make some plays and do some damage here. I don't think it's a 60-yard highlight, you know, RG3 is going to outrace everybody kind of thing against the Vikings. I do think, though, it's a few 4-5 yard gains here and there, just those little jabs in the gut, just to make sure that you've got to cover every blade of grass and you can't start cheating on stuff, knowing that I don't have the dynamic skill set of the normal starter here, especially when you talk about some of the downfield stuff. And I don't think it's really going to be there for Mariota. And I don't think they wanted to do it, to be frank with you, because this isn't Rex Grossman as a backup coming in and slinging it. This is a guy I want short to intermediate. I want early. I want on time. I don't want him, you know, doing a lot of, a deep third of the field shots here and there. It's just not really what his game is to me.
And to your point, when you're kind of presenting the counter argument, too, of where things could go sideways. So we talked already about possible rust, just how long it's been since he's taken a snap, and the lack of practices this summer, and a non-August for him based on that Achilles. So that could be an issue. Hopefully it isn't. But the other part is, you know, I was on with the Junkies for a few minutes this morning telling them we're out here at Craft House Reston and that we'd be at the Reston Town Center and people should come by and see the show. And while I was talking to them, we were talking about Mariota, and they were saying he played so good last season. You know, look at that Panthers game, look at the Cowboys game. Why would anyone think he couldn't go out there and just run this offense? And there's truth to that. The only thing I would say is when he was dropped into those situations last year, this thing was humming. You know, and even early on against Carolina, like you basically, what's the analogy? So I'm on a boat with my dad every now and then, and he's like, hey, take the wheel for a second. And like he'll go putz around in the back and find something, and I just.
He's doing something with the jib.
I'm not supposed to crash it. Like he's like, go toward that tree out there, and it's like 117 miles away, and I kind of see this little tree, and I just do this, and I hope no boats come near us. I can't do anything.
Grant Mariota. Right?
That, to me, was last year. Like, the boat is going, the 150 horsepower with the full haul. We got the big wake behind us. I just kind of sit down, and everything's already going. This is not that. Like, the boat's not started yet. They have not really gotten to a point offensively where you just plug and play Mariota yet. They were waiting on Daniels. They still needed, whether it was this week, next week, whenever, for him to create the spark and the explosion. And so it's not really a just get in where you fit in, everyone else will make you look good, like it was at one point last year.
Yeah, and everyone knows you're coming in.
Right.
Like in
that's
I was talking
too.
About this with a backup, where it's like you planned all week for something that's totally different, and now you've got a slightly different option there, which always gives you the advantage. Now everybody knows.
And by the way, I have no problem with how they handled it. I like when teams don't really divulge information publicly.
Sure.
There's no chance that the Raiders didn't bank on Marcus Mariota most of this week.
Yeah, it's different when you're starting in the game plan for you.
I mean, come on. The betting line told you days ago what was going to happen when it moved substantially. But the Raiders have absolutely been preparing for Mariota. But you're right, that's very different. Just it's the equivalent of calling a guy out of the bullpen, max effort, 98 miles an hour, or you know, letting him start the game where he's adding and subtracting and painting it 93 to 95. I mean, this is going to be a different assignment for him for sure. I want to hear from you guys next at 800-636-1067. I've filed this still as a should-win game for Washington. Do you agree with me, yes or no? Danny, are you co-signing should-win?
Yes.
800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny, Adam Sandler tickets in 20 minutes. We're at the Craft House in Reston at the Reston Town Center live on our Field Trip Friday on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
In 13 minutes, somebody's winning Adam Sandler tickets just because they listen to us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. The Falcons once had Marcus Mariota. They're next on the schedule.
That's right.
This week, he's playing the Raiders. Might he have to play Atlanta next week, or will Jaden Daniels be back? Something we'll opine about next hour. But Danny, all eyes on Sunday for the moment, and Vegas coming to town. We're both still in lockstep here that Washington wins. This one feels like it got a little bit tighter, though.
It absolutely did. I mean, your get-out-of-jail-free card last year was Jaden Daniels. And in games they were not the better team, they were, right? Just simply because, hey, we can't run the ball, or, you know, nothing's really working defensively. So we played ball control without being able to run it with a rookie quarterback doing stuff that is 400-level, 500-level type course work. And he was outstanding, and you don't have him. You don't have that security blanket now, so you're turning to Mariota for the first time as a starter in 3 years.
So here's the question for you guys on the listener lines right now, 800-636-1067. We're out here in Reston. If you're in the Reston Town Center area, we're going to be here till 6:30, so come on by over the next 4 hours to get out of the office. These have been a lot of fun, these Friday field trips, close of business. Things really start picking up and booming, and it's just a good time to hang out with Commanders and D.C. football fans. But we want to know, tell me why I'm wrong. I think this is a should-win game with or without Jaden Daniels. He can't use the excuse, well, we didn't have the five car. You got the rest advantage. It's a very winnable game. You're still favored according to the odds. Go get it. Let's see. Is the rest of this roster being built up in a way that is competitive? It can't just be all built around a house of cards of one guy that just waves a potion, a wand over everything and makes you good. Let's go to Albert in Fort Lauderdale on Grant and Danny. How are you, Albert?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
it. Got it, buddy.
Long-time season ticket holder living down here in South Florida. Anywho. Yeah, I agree. This is a should win, but this is a must win. If this team wants to be considered in the playoff conversation, you have to be able to go in and beat this team, this Raiders team, who I watched Monday night. They looked awful. You have to go in and be able to beat them with your backup quarterback. And listen, Mariota, where he's certainly not the dynamic runner that Daniels is, but he's certainly capable of running the RPO offense and running it well. We saw it last year in a couple different games. So they should win this game. I know you guys have it by 3 or 4 points. Honestly, I'd be disappointed if they didn't beat this team by over a touchdown. They
wow.
should be able to dominate this team. They have enough positional players that I believe will match up great against the Raiders. And I think Mariota, I don't know is the health of his Achilles, but if he's healthy, he should be able to run this offense. And
well, here's the good news on that. Thanks for the call, Albert, and thanks
Appreciate
for listening
you,
to the Odyssey app, free and available wherever you are, coast to coast. So you can listen to us down in Florida with that app. They did not dress a third quarterback in either of the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that tells you he's 100% healthy, and they know that. I don't think you would have had a guy one play away from playing with an Achilles you're really worried about, and then not had a third quarterback up. So I'm assuming it's just a non-concern for them based on their actions. Let's go to Justin, who's in Dahlgren. That's in King George County,
King
Danny.
George County, Virginia.
That's
He's using local. The telephone down there.
That's where I went to elementary school at Potomac down there on the river. What's up, Justin? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yes, sir, King George. Full disclosure, I am a transplant. I'm in the military. I'm actually from Ohio. I'm a Browns fan, but I am a adopted Washington fan, got Ohio State players on the team. I root for you guys. This feels to me like a pick 'em. I mean, like kind of what the reasons you gave, they're still trying to figure stuff out in Washington, right? They're still trying to figure out what they do best, the running game and getting pressure on the defensive line. I mean, they're still trying to figure all that stuff out. So to me, this feels like a three-point game. And when you're talking about that, this kicking game, this kicking team doesn't inspire a bunch of confidence in me. So for those reasons, it feels like a kind of a pick 'em. Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, as a homer, you feel like you should win, but I don't know. Any given Sunday. And then my other question would be, I'm trying to figure out Zach Ertz or Kyle Pitts. You know, are we thinking with Mariota? Do you think Zach Ertz is going to be a big factor? Maybe even pick up Rodriguez off the waiver wire. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Appreciate you. Thank you for your service as well. I don't think it's a huge dynamic day for anybody in this offense, with the only potential being Kroski Merritt having a big day, gets fed a little bit. And maybe he gashes a couple, maybe catches a couple passes, et cetera. I think this is a little bit more workmanlike. I guess Deebo Samuel could have a nice one as well, but I just don't see anything prolific through the air here. Am I crazy about that? Because I just think Ertz is a lower ceiling guy in that regard.
Is Mariota going to be sharp? Is he going to be accurate? I think there's a lot of air against this defense. You've seen it through 2 weeks now. They've stopped the run pretty well. They have not defended the pass well at all. And I do think the middle of the field has been susceptible against them. I like Ertz in this matchup. So far this season, Ertz has a touchdown in both games. He's been targeted 13 times, which I believe is a team high. And he also mentioned Pitts, and anytime I've got Pitts versus Ertz, I'm probably going to roll with Ertz, especially before they get these wide receivers going. So I would start him. I think it's, you know, backup quarterback, checking the ball down. Again, Mariota is not a guy that is going to force the ball into small windows or take chances. Ertz is one of the guys that's a real separator. I could see him having a, you know, 5-6 catch game, and he's going to get targets in the red zone. You know that. Wills in Stafford on Grant and Danny. Will, tell me why I'm wrong. I think they should win without Daniels.
Hey, guys. I'm about 55-45. There's some things that worry me. Offensive line, hopefully Biotis takes that neck brace off and turns his head to the right after he snaps the ball and doesn't let a free blitzer go, you know, without looking at him. You know, tight ends have made their careers against us for 20 to 25 years. If you close your eyes and think about tight ends, you see L.J. Smith, Jeremy Shockey, Jason Witten, LJ just torching us, you know, things like that. Dante Thornton Jr., former Tennessee Vol, by the way, go Vols. He's a burner. He's tall. He runs straight lines like Jalen Hyatt, but he's a good receiver. Jacoby Myers is no pushover. Our kicking game is very questionable. You get nervous every time Matt Gay lines up. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be kind of concerned. You know, it's hopefully we pull it out, man. We'll see how it goes. Thanks.
The Raiders' outside wide receivers are blazingly fast. Trey Tucker, former third-round pick, and then Dante Thornton. I don't think either is like a particularly great receiver, but they both straight line,
it's not
have
they're
speed,
slow, yeah.
They can present problems. And Jacoby Myers is their kind of third in Jacoby, right? He's like their war daddy. He's their Ertz, everything underneath. Now, their best weapon is Brock Bowers. We talk about Max Crosby on defense. The game wrecker on offense for them is their tight end, Brock Bowers, who they funnel things through.
And if you saw him on Monday, you know that wasn't him. He played in the game. It was his name on the back of the jersey, but he was not himself. If you get that version, it's a lot less scary than the real thing.
Totally.
And the real thing is an impossible matchup for anybody.
Third highest catch total by a tight end in league history over a single season. Last year as a rookie for Bowers coming out of college at Georgia as a top-of-the-board pick at tight end. And this is how legit he is. Nobody had a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, normally you draft a tight end that high and people go, are we sure?
Like,
here?
Whoa.
Especially when you have a bunch of needs.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, of course you should.
Yeah, great
do
pick
that.
There. Yeah. Makes
Why
sense.
Why not? The video that came out, I don't know if you saw the video of him at practice yesterday. He looked a lot more agile than he did in the game. Now, how that works, I don't know. It's only been a few days. Maybe it was just a nice clip, you know, favorable to him or something. But to me, it looked like he was moving a lot better than he did against the Chargers, where you're right. He was kind of a shell of himself. Still effective. Still got open. Still made some big chain-moving catches for them. Next on Grant and Danny. First of all, as soon as we return, we're giving away the first of four pairs of tickets today to go see Adam Sandler. We're doing that at 3, 4, 5, and 6 o'clock at the top of every single hour on this Football Friday. We're out at the Reston Town Center at Craft House in Reston on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.